What we're going to be talking about today, I prayed about it this week and past week when Pastor asked if I could give a message. And sometimes you wonder, you know, what should I talk about or what should I say, what topic? Because, you know, I want to make sure that it's relevant and it's you know, something that we need in our lives. And he always does. He gives me something that's relevant because there's a lot of relevant things we need to work on. And today what we're going to be going over is, I kind of think it's kind of a conundrum or whatever you want to call it. Who do we follow, the shepherd or the sheep? Well, everybody's going to say right away, the shepherd. But you know what happens? Sometimes we're guilty of following the sheep. And what I'm going to go in is go a little discussion today. We're going to first talk about following the shepherd. And then we got the second part, which is going to be talking about the sheep. And then we're going to talk about the summation of what we need to do so we don't follow the sheep. And the sheep is easy to follow if you're not careful, because the sheep are, they kind of wander here and there, and we kind of get into the thing of following sheep, and we're not supposed to do that. So what we're going to start out, we're going to go into John, and John's one of my favorite books. I'll be honest with you, we all have our books we like in the Bible. John's one of my favorite ones because it's how I got saved, because somebody had told me that the book of John would be a good place to go because I wasn't saved at the time. So I started reading John. Read the whole book of John a couple times and realized that I needed a Savior. I needed somebody that could guide me and direct me and see me through the struggles I was going through. So I want you to read 1 John. We're going to start. This is not even the first verse I was going to start, but it came to me when we studied. The very first book of John, very first chapter, very first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. So the Word was God. So it's so important. Remember how the pastor always has us lift this up, and it's always good to do that. But this is our guide. This is our direction. This is how it leads us to be with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So who do we follow? Sounds simple. But people struggle with this concept, and they really do. I mean, you know, we have this idol worship thing in the United States. Everybody likes the idol worship. We like to have somebody. We're guilty of it, whether it's politicians, whether it's entertainers. We have this thing where, you know, well, look at them. They're something else. And, you know, we as Christians can do the same exact thing. We can sit there and say, well, look at that guy, over that Christian over there. He's something I'm going to really follow. And I'm not saying that I'm against people seeing something good in somebody, but we're not to follow that. We're to follow Jesus Christ. If we see something good in somebody, that's great, and that's a wonderful thing. But we're not to follow that. So we're going to go to, I want you to go to John 14, 6. And I'll give you some time to get there. I've been known to rush you, and I'll try not to do that today. So I'm going to take my time getting to John 14, 6. And we will be reading quite a bit out of John today. Okay. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. First and foremost, who is our shepherd, our great shepherd? It's Jesus Christ. That's who we follow. I love my pastor. He's a good man, but he is a man. We do not put our pastor on pedestals. We do not put our elders on pedestals. Don't do that, because guess what? They're human beings. They're fallible. They make mistakes. Don't do that. The only one we can put on a pedestal, and like Diane was saying this morning, the only one we should be hurrahing for is Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the only one, because because it's so easy to get caught in that thing of looking at somebody else and saying, wow, that's what I want to emulate. No, what we want to emulate is Jesus Christ. He is the foremost thing. So he is the way, the truth, and the life. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. God exemplified the way through the Word of God. So we have to follow the Word of God. That leads us to the Savior. It's a guiding. If we don't have the Word of God in our heart, then we're never going to be able to be close to him. You need to be reading your Word. You need to be in it on a regular basis. You need to be trusting him. And, you know, however you do that, I don't, you know, there's so many ways you can get the Word nowadays. You can get it on your computer. You can get it on CD. You can get it everywhere. There's no excuse. You say, well, I'm not a good reader. Well, then get you some CD tapes. Get you an app off your computer. Get where they'll read to you. There's places they'll actually read to you. If you need that, go for it. I'm all for some of that technology. I mean, I don't do a lot of it, but I'm for it. Sometimes technology overwhelms me, but that's life. I have my issues too when it comes to that. So we know that. So he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. He teaches us how to grow. He tells us which way we should go, how we should live, what things we should do. And if we follow those things, I really believe we can have an abundant life. Does that mean we're not going to go through struggles? Oh, come on. Every one of us goes through a struggle. Every one of us is going to go through issues in our lives. It could be just so many things that can happen, trials and tribulations, things you thought you were done with that come back to haunt you. So we have to remember that. So now I want to go back to John 3. Just going to be back into John. We're headed to John 3. And I'm learning to slow down when I get up here, not be in too much of a rush. Well, when I first started doing this, I would be zipping through the pages thinking I had to get there right away. You know, I just got to jump there and all that stuff. And sometimes that's not good. Sometimes we need to have some of this stuff soak in. You know, give it a little bit of time to get back down in there where it's supposed to be. So we're going to start John 3, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. We have to come before him. We have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I stress that so much in our walks. We can't have this knowledge, head knowledge. Head knowledge doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, everybody, a lot of people in the United States has head knowledge. Why? They know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus as their personal Savior that they can call on every day, each and every day, and rely upon him, him alone, to see you through. So we have to remember that. The one and only we can follow is Jesus Christ. John 14, 21. And this is important too, John 14, 21. Because sometimes we say, well, Jesus does all these wonderful things for us, and he does. But there's some things we can do for him. If we truly love him, there's some things we're going to do. So we're going to go to John 14, 21. And it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him myself. Commands. That's the one thing that people do. We have kind of a rebellious spirit. If anybody ever has a rebellious spirit at times, am I okay? Good, I'm one. I have a rebellious spirit. And it wears its head every so often. And I don't want to follow God's commands. I want to do it my way. I want to say, hey, this is the way I want to do it. I don't want to do what you want me to do. But what does God say there? He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. If you want to love Jesus Christ with all your heart, follow his commands, follow his leading, follow what he has for you. And that's what it's key about, is following him. So we love God. Now I want to go back a little bit. We're going to go to Psalms, and I want to go to Psalms 145. And we're going to be back into John a little bit later. John, Psalms 145, give you a chance to get there. I love Psalms. Psalms has got so much to offer. Because Psalms is real. I mean, Psalms gets into the nitty-gritty of life. And life does have its nitty-gritties, that's for sure. We're Psalms 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. I'm reading a book now that Pastor gave us talking about purpose. Each one of you has a purpose that God has called you to. And it's all different. That's what's so unique and great about God. Like Diane, Fancy Nancy, and Terry doing Fancy Nancy. That's their called purpose. It's a great purpose. It's a wonderful thing. But each of you has a purpose. Your purpose may be intercessory prayer, where you pray for people. Your purpose may be doing all kinds of things. And I guarantee you, you're never going to run out of a purpose when you come to this church, because we will find a purpose for you, because God has one for you. And we're going to have a place for you and something you can do. We're going to have something you can do and something you can accomplish and have a purpose, because we need to have a purpose. Because what happens is if we go in life without a purpose, we wander. We kind of here and there and where, everywhere, and we float around. But if you have a purpose and you know that God's called you to reach out, and that purpose may be witnessing, which we all need to do. That's everybody's purpose. That's a given. But you may have a purpose in some ministry or something you're doing. So you need to have that purpose. So it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In other words, you're calling on God from your heart. When I get up here and talk to you guys, it's because I love you. I love each and every one of you. You guys are special in my heart. You mean so much to me. And Lauren, I'll tell you the same thing. You're special. And God calls us to love on people, to love. And that's what I love about the Christian faith and the belief. If we truly practice it, we're talking about love. We're not talking about hatred or getting even or doing this. We're talking about loving one individual. That's what Jesus says. And I've seen people say, Jesus came as the God of love, that we're supposed to reach out, not tear people down. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Not talking about tearing people down or bringing them down. We're to love them and we're to care for them. So let's switch back to John 16. We're definitely doing scripture. And that's one thing I want to thank God that we have is a pastor that teaches out of scripture. We're getting into a society now where people are doing commentaries on the Bible. They're not preaching out of the word. They're doing commentaries. They're going through and they're picking out what they want to pick out to say what they want to say. And not that I'm going on a rabbit trail, but I will here a little bit. We're finding out in a lot of our mainline denominations now, it's scary, that they're getting ready to separate. One of the Methodists, one of the largest denominations, getting ready to split because we have people not following Jesus. They're following sheep. They're following the people within the church. So we're losing that thing of where we're following Jesus. We're not following him anymore. We're following the sheep. And we got to be careful we don't do that. Do not follow sheep, because when you follow sheep, it'll get you in trouble. They get you in trouble myriad of ways, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit, how following sheep will get you in trouble. And but let's go back to John 16. And I'll get there in just a second. John 16, 13 through 15. And it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Because the Holy Spirit brings down what Jesus teaches and brings it into our hearts, and we can use that Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. That's the first segment I wanted to go on to. Now I want to go on to the second segment, and this is where we're the sheep. The sheep are flawed, not perfect, prone to roam, or fall away. That's why we need to be wary of following sheep. Sheep will get you in trouble. They're kind of like cows, too. They're all that way. Have you ever seen a fence with really nice grass? What's the cow trying to do? He's going to get the grass on the other side because it's what? Greener. And we got to be careful of that. Because when we look at other people and we start doing that, we start becoming envious. And envy is a very dangerous thing. God has a place for you. He has his purpose for you in your life. Don't be looking at somebody else saying, well, I want to be like them. No, you want to be like God. You want to be like Jesus. You want to be serving him in your life. You don't want to be worried about what so-and-so, your neighbor's doing, or where they're at. And that can come in all types of points. This comes in relational. This comes in dealing with family. This comes in financial. Don't worry about what the other guy has. For one thing, it's none of your business because you don't really know. And more likely, you shouldn't be telling either. So don't worry about that. Where you are is where you're at. And you're asking God to help you in your position, not in somebody else's position. Because for one thing, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they've done. You don't really know. So don't do that. That's one thing about sheep. Sheep do that. So who are sheep? All except Jesus. Guess what? We have a shepherd. Pastor Rick, he's our shepherd. But guess what? He's a sheep. He is not the Savior. Don't put him on a pedestal. Don't put him where you think he's going to be perfect. because he's not. He's like I am. He is not perfect. He's not anyone. Elders are not perfect. We have faults. We have quirks. We got all these good things that go along with being human beings. Do I say stupid things? Oh, absolutely. I said stupid things to my wife, and she'll tell you. She'll say, heck, yeah, he did that. He said that. You know, and have you ever said something in anger that you're not supposed to say? Have anybody ever done that one? Or am I the only one that's been on that category? Where you say something stupid and afterwards you go, what in the world was I thinking when I said that? And try to bring it back. It's hard to bring it back, too. I found that out. Try to bring that rascal back and get it back. I mean, you know, you're sitting there apologizing for 3 weeks, you know, for what you said. You know, it's kind of like, okay, what did I do that one for? So we're sheep. And be wary of idol worship, putting too much faith in men. And we do that. We do that in our government. You know, we got to be careful. We get elected official, and all of a sudden, he is our savior. He's going to fix all the problems. No, he's not. No politician is going to fix all the problems. I don't care who they are. I don't care what party you are. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. Your guy isn't going to fix all the problems. Not going to happen. You know, it's just, you know, because it's just part of life. We're living in a world where that, and we have so much of that. Everybody wants to have what I call their 15 minutes of fame. You ever know about that? You know, you get on there and you do something really stupid so you can be 15 minutes of, wow, look at me. I mean, you know, I did something stupid and everybody thinks I'm wonderful. I get a kick out of it. I hate to say that. I kind of laugh at it. It's like, okay, you're willing to get up there and make a total fool of yourself. But okay, so we do that. Now, I want to go to Matthew. We're going to talk about false prophets, and they do exist. And false prophets, the problem with a false prophet is a lot of times what they're saying is has enough truth in it that you buy it. You know, it's kind of like it's got enough in there that, you know, it's not true, because if you check it with the word, it's not true, but there's just enough in there that it leads you off the straight. So let's head to Matthew. And Matthew 7, we're going that way. Like I say, I'm not going to get too much of a rush here, because if I get too much of a rush and all. Matthew 7, 15 through 23 is what we're going to be reading today. Okay. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Watch out for false prophets. And this is so important, because a lot of people are being led astray by somebody that says something to them, and it's not biblically correct. Oh, it's got some Bible in it, and it's got some things in it. And I tell people, be careful reading just certain scriptures. I want you to read it in context. I want you to read the whole thing. And I'll challenge any of you this week, read the book of John from what I've taught from, and make sure what I'm saying is true. Don't take me by my word. Don't do that. And don't do that with teachers out there. Be careful. Make sure that you follow through. And any good teacher will tell you, get in it. Check it out. Make sure that what I said is correct. Make sure that what I'm telling you is not something off the wall or not something out in air. Make sure it's right. So be careful of false prophets. Watch out for them. And sometimes we get into what should we look for when we're talking about what should we look for in others and other sheep, you know, what kind of things we should. Well, I'm going to go over a little bit of what we should look for and things we should be watching out for with sheep, okay? And I love Galatians. It's one of my favorite verses, Galatians 5:5. And I think everybody knows where we're headed. But I'm going to read a little bit before Galatians 5, too. So we're headed to Galatians now. We're going to kind of go all over today a little bit. We're headed to Galatians. And it's in here. It's somewhere in the New Testament. I'm not sure where, but we'll find it. It's not in the Old. If you're headed to the Old, you're in the wrong place. Okay, I think it's after Corinthians. We'll find it. Okay, I think it's right before Ephesians, if I remember right. Yep, right before Ephesians. They haven't moved it any. That's good. So let's head over this. I'm going to go start at 19. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You think it sounds easy, right? You know, that immorality, sexual immorality should be simple, right? Well, in our society, it's not simple anymore. We're having alternate lifestyles that, quote, the sheep think are okay. Now, I'm not saying the Lord does. I'm talking about the sheep. The sheep thinks that these different types of lifestyles are okay, that it's acceptable, we can do that, and you're okay with the Lord. You know, we now have it that men can marry men and women can marry women, and we do all those things, which we know is biblically unsound and not correct. But our society teaches that it's okay. And if you don't accept it, you're the bad guy, you're the false one. And so we have to learn that. And we have to learn that impurity, and we're not talking just about that. We're talking about impurity, debauchery, idolatry. Idolatry is a big one in there. When we reach out and we're trying to find somebody that, you know, wow, look at them. There's something special, whether it be an actor or a politician, whether it be a person of God, that you're putting more emphasis on that person than you are on Jesus Christ. Now, should we respect people that are living for their lives? Yes, I'm not against respect. I'm not against that. I think we should, but we should never worship them. We should never think they've got it all together. And that's what if I get anything through you today, don't think that people have it all together. And will there be offense? Yeah, because I guess I've offended people by saying something stupid or dumb or idiotic. I mean, it's just the nature of us human beings. We sometimes put our foot in our mouth, and sometimes we put our leg in our mouth. We don't even get past the foot. We just put the whole thing in. I mean, we just, you know, get it done and you know, really mess up big time. That's human nature. It's kind of one of those things we work with, and we do that. So we go to Galatians there, but now we look at what is the good side that we should look for. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Okay, you're called as sheep, as a children of God, to lift up your fellow brother and sister, to encourage them when they're going through their struggles. And we all go through struggles. Every one of us is going to go through things that we don't like. I mean, that's just the way it is. We live in the real world, and we're going to have those problems. We're going to have family issues. We're going to have all those things. I like to tell you it wouldn't happen. And, you know, I don't like somebody that I really get bugged when somebody says, well, once you become a Christian, it's all going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to go perfect. You're not going to have any troubles in life. God, no. That's a myth. We live in an imperfect world. When the fall of Adam came, the world became imperfect. And it has not got perfection back. And it will not till Jesus come back as a reigning king. And he will come back as the reigning king someday. I don't know when that day is. It's not for me to know. But you know what God tells me? I'm to occupy until that time comes. Amen. I'm to live my life for him. I'm to do what is good. And we're going to be talking about that after we get through with this. What is good? What are we to do? Where are we to keep our eyes focused on? And we have to do these things to keep our eyes focused. So what I've got is I've got the summation. I have written summation next page. So I have to turn a page here. So I've got the summation. We're going to head to that. And it's going to be in Philippians. So we do get a little variety today. We're going to head to Philippians now. And I think that's on back just a little bit. If you find out, you just head back a little ways, a couple more pages, and you'll find Philippians. My Philippians is on page, the one I'm going to read out of is 1810. I don't know where your page is. That's my page. So we're going to head to Philippians, and we're going to go to Philippians 4. And we're going to be reading out of Philippians 4. And we're going to be reading quite a little bit of that. It says, is everybody there? We all there? We're all Philippians? Good. Let's go. Okay. I'm just waking myself up too. Okay, we're headed there. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. I want to go over this a little bit. First thing is rejoice in the Lord always. We have so much to rejoice in. We got a Savior that took us, redeemed us, and set us free. We don't have to worry about sin anymore. It's covered, covered completely. We are not sinners anymore. We're saved by grace. I like what Pastor said there. We are not sinners. We are saved by grace. Our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to live with that burden or that condemnation. And don't let the devil do that to you. Don't let this devil say, oh, you're a sinner. You're just that. No, your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're a new creation, set free. This is the first day of your life. First day. We start from the first day and we go forward. We don't look at the past, even though we may suffer consequences of the past. We don't look at the past because you can't change the past. I don't know anybody in here that's able to change the past. I mean, I don't think that's a possibility. I've never seen that happen. Maybe in science sci-fi movies, but not in real life. You can't change the past. So we need to rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. What kind of spirit do you have? Is it a spirit of gentleness? Is it a spirit of kindness? That you want to help people, that you want to reach out and do what you can do, take care of those that you love and be around those and be of service. What is God? He calls us to be servants to him, to reach out. When God washed the feet of his disciples, they didn't want to do it. Remember how they said, well, you're Lord. We don't want to, we're not going to wash your feet. Peter told me, no, I'm not going to wash your feet. But Jesus said, yes, you need to wash my feet, because Jesus came as a servant too. To serve us and to be with us. Even though he's God, sometimes it's hard to get your mind around both those things. He's great and glorious God, but he's also servant because he did service. He does both. And he expects us to do that, to be servants to other. That's why I talked about purpose. God gives you a purpose, whatever it be, but whatever stage in your life, God has a purpose for you. He has something for you to do. He has somebody you're going to reach and touch, but you got to be willing and able in that. I always said there's two types of sins. There's a sin of commission where you actually do something you know is wrong. You just do it. You just, you know, it's wrong. You do it. It's sin. And then there's a sin of omission. Sin of omission is where God calls you to do something and you don't do it. And I think we've all failed. I think in my Christian life, I've had more struggle with the sin of omission than I have commission. The sin of, well, God calls me and leads me in my spirit to do something, and I just ignore it and don't do it. That's one of my, I admit it, things I've had to struggle with, is that, you know, God calls you to do something. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to reach out? Are you willing to take that extra effort? Because some of it's effort. It takes time to do something God has called you to do. So you have to remember that is you got to do those two. But in everything by prayer and petition. Now, we've been talking a lot in here about prayer, how important prayer is. And it is very important that we pray on a regular basis and that we lift God up. Prayer in your private prayer closet. Prayer here as a congregation. We need to pray together. We need to lift up the Lord. Okay? Now, I want to read in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What we need to look upon when we're out there, and we are going to look at sheep. I'd like to tell you that, you know, don't look at sheep, but people do. It's the realities of life. When you're looking upon somebody, look at these traits in their lives. Are they true to the Word of God? Are they listening to what God had to say? Are they willing to go out and tell people about God? Are they willing to go out and let people know? Does their life show it? Are they kind to people out? Are they angry or bitter or whatever? Those are things you need to look at. There's things you want, things you looked at. Are they noble of character? Are they noble people? You know, they have this, you know, they'll go out there and you can tell. You've been around people that are positive, and you've been around people that are negative, that no matter what goes on, it's miserable and it's lousy and it's all that. We as Christians should not be dill pickles, like they said. We talked about that. Don't be dill. Don't be that guy. Be a sweet pickle. You know, be somebody pleasant to be around. Be somebody that, you know, people want to be around you because you've got something. And they're saying, well, you know, I kind of want that. I like that. Be right. Be pure. Be pure in heart. Don't think on evil thoughts and all these things. Because it talks about, what I was reading before, I'm pretty sure it's in Ephesians, where it talks, don't be of coarse language. Don't use, you know, don't use foul language around your, you know, I go to a workplace, and it's kind of sad. I've had people say they're Christians, and you really don't know. Because they talk vulgar. They could be demeaning to women. They can be, you know, all these things that, that's not what Christ called me to do. I mean, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be positive. I'm supposed to be uplifting. I'm supposed to be picking people up, not tearing them down. I mean, you know, it's you got to watch that. And you got to look on things that are lovely and pure. I like looking on lovely things. I like looking out, seeing green grass, seeing the trees bud. Look on pure things that God's created. Look at so much God has given us that is lovely and pleasant. Keep your thoughts on those things, because when you keep your thoughts on those things, you're not thinking about the yucky, miry, muddy, clay garbage out there. You're thinking on lovely things. And when you do that, you can present that message out to other people. You can say, this is what we're looking for. Things that are admirable. I want to look at somebody, if I'm going to look at somebody, say, first and foremost is Jesus Christ. But if I'm looking on somebody, I want to look at somebody that's admirable. Somebody I can look at the traits that I go, you know, that's really neat traits. I mean, they're really trying to do so. So if you're looking at that, you're keeping your eyes. And what are those traits by? They're from Jesus Christ, right? So those traits are good traits to look upon. So we want to do that. We want to look upon those traits. And we also want to look on excellence or praiseworthy. Or what they do in excellent, is it good? Is it good quality things from God? Are we trying to reach out to others? Are we trying to love on others in our families, in our church, wherever we're at? Are we trying to reach out and touch somebody in a positive way, in a positive means? I guess I'm one of these people that believe in the positive. Sure, we go through the struggles. We go through the negatives in life. But if we can have an overall positive attitude, an overall positive way to go, instead of a negative and a down and an out and it's a woe is me. You know, the devil loves a good old pity party. Devil's fond of those pity parties where we sit there and feel sorry for ourselves. And, you know, sometimes we have reason that we can feel sorry for ourselves. But should we do it? Probably not, because in the long run, it's not going to help us any. And, you know, you get that, woe is me, I just can't do it, God's against me, I can't make it. You know, those are pity parties from the devil. And he will use that to bring you down. And when you have those pity parties, the first thing you need to do is go to Jesus Christ and say, you know, I'm blessed. And in this country, you are blessed. I don't think anybody's went without a meal today yet, I don't think. And I don't think you're going. And I know I haven't missed any meals lately. I mean, I probably should miss a few meals, but I haven't missed them lately. I have a roof over my head, maybe not the greatest roof. And sometimes, you know, we've got to fix our roof, but I still got a place. I mean, I haven't had it truly rain on me today. I mean, you know, maybe some people have, but there's a lot of people in this country, or not even in this country, but in other countries. Our country's fairly blessed. We don't really, I had one person tell me in our country, we really don't have any truly poor that are eating from day to day and doesn't know whether they're going to get a meal. There's some, I'm not saying there isn't some. There are some, and I'm not saying that, because some of us dealt with drugs where kids are not being fed because their parents are on drugs or something like that. But we do have a lot of programs and stuff for feeding, but there are some. But you go to a lot of countries, there isn't any programs. There's no help. There's no church really doing anything, because the Christian church reaches out and tries to do the best we can. We're not always perfect. But the key is that God is trying to bless you if you'll let him. And you have to be willing to let him and to follow him and him only. Is life going to be perfect? No. I'm not going to give you that bunch of nonsense. I won't do that one to you because it's not perfect. It's got its faults. It's got its puns. But you know what? We have a Savior that is my crutch. Absolutely. We was talking about this morning. Do I rely on it as God as my crutch? You're darn tootin' I do. I do it every day because I need it. I mean, I'm not one of these people that can say, oh, I'm going to do it on my own. But you start doing it on your own, and you know what that's called? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness will never get you. Anything, God wants you to rely more on his strength and less on your strength. Because you can't do it on your own. You never have been, never able to, never will. Because when you try doing it on your own, I can guarantee you, you're going to fall on your face. And you're going to be in the miry clay. And you're going to have all kinds of struggles if you try to do it on your own. You've got to do it with God's love and with God's peace. So as I close today, I just want you to know that God has a plan for you. He has a purpose in your life. And it's not the same purpose that I have. It's not the same purpose that Steve Ulrey has or Mick Hoff has or anybody has. It's not the same purpose. It's your purpose that God's giving you to do. And you've got to go out and go for that. You've got to reach for that. You've got to grab that and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Not what the other sheep are doing. That's not your place. That's their problems. Don't go by the other sheep. You don't need to be like the other sheep. You need to be like you. You need to be an individual like you. Because God created you to be you. Not me. Not some idol. Not some special person out there. And like I say, again, idols can be in the Christian realm too. You can worship some idol in the Christian realm. Some person in the Christian realm. And like I say, and that's why I tell people to be careful what you listen to and what you watch, even in the Christian sector. Make sure that that person is in the Word. It's true. And it's not something that they're just adding to, making it contemporary. And we're getting a lot of that nowadays in contemporary. Everybody wants to make it contemporary. We got it. The Bible is not relevant anymore. We have to make it modern. We have to make it like, you know, it's got to fit within our society because it's not politically correct and it's not modern. It's missing out. You know, we're leaving people out and all that stuff. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we love all people. We're inclusive of all people. But yet we do believe in the Word. We do practice the Word. And that's what we need to do. So as I close today, just take it in your heart today that you do have a purpose. And it's your specific purpose. It's not the other people's purpose. It's your purpose. And God will let you know what that purpose is through prayer and through seeking him. So as we close this morning, we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us time to share your word and to know that it is truth and it is life and that it will give us a way to go and a purpose to follow and that we can trust you and know that you are want to do what is good for us, Lord. And even though we may go through struggles and trials and tribulations, we know that you're right beside us, guiding us, directing us through your word and through your spirit on how to live. We just thank you and praise you and give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.